Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you the best in craft beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. This is Chris from Dallas, and joining me as always this week is
Mike from Boston, Massachusetts.
And Toby from Las Vegas, Nevada.
And this week, we are doing something a little bit different to make amends for our foibles of the past. We are covering
foibles.
Wines. Okay, not really. We're covering barley wines this week. So to start us out, I want to talk a little bit about what a barley wine is and why we're covering it this week. So barley wines originally
because
started
they're good,
as
a, because they're tasty,
chewy,
because they have lots
barley
of alcohol.
Wines were originally born out of Oktoberfest styles and March styles in England. And the term itself was first applied by Bass in 1903 to its number one strong ale. And then, you know, England was brewing them for a while. And then for us to jump on the bandwagon, as we talked a few weeks ago about Anchor being sort of the first microbrew in the States, they also are the first brewery to brew a barley wine in the United States, and that was in
70.
Way to go, Anchor.
1970. So
Anchor is really ahead of their time in the craft.
Yeah, they're the first for
brewing
a lot
movement.
Of stuff. Yeah. Well, I don't know if a lot of people know that. If a lot of people actually realize that Anchor is one of the founding craft brewers in America, you know, they're still going strong. Pretty sweet.
Yep, the alcohol in this style usually tends to be between 7% and 12%, and
that's what I'm talking about.
Usually has a fairly high bitterness, especially in the American barley wines, which is something that sort of differentiates it from the English style. We, of course, hops are our big thing. So
us Americans
tend
is
to be
more
hoppy
bitter
in the United States. Yeah, us Americans is more bitter. So, for our fermentation conversation, speaking of Anchor, we're actually going to cover Anchor's Old Foghorn barley wine.
What a coincidence.
And then we're going to move into our hop topics, and we're doing something a little bit different with our hop topics this week. As opposed to actually talking about beer news, we're going to actually cover a hop topic in that we're going to talk about adjuncts, and we're going to take the whole segment to sort of cover that. Hopefully we have enough information to stretch that.
I'm sure
we'll probably be talking a lot of smack. Yeah.
Then we're going to move into our tasting flight. Mike, what are you covering this week?
I am covering Ipswich Ales Castle Hill Summer Barley Wine.
Excellent. Toby, what about you?
I'm covering Full Sail's Old Boardhead. It's the 09. Or no, maybe it's
sweet.
The 09.
What you doing?
Awesome. And I'm going to be covering Avery Brewing's Hog Heaven barley wine. So then after we get through drinking our respective beers for the tasting flight, we'll move into the tweet of the week. Then we'll get into some backwash. Got a couple pieces of backwash. And then move into our last
call. Sounds gross.
So without any
pieces of backwash,
further hesitation... I want to drink some beer.
Me too.
You ready?
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah. This is a fermentation conversation. Yeah.
And this is our fermentation conversation for this week. We are covering Anchor's Old Foghorn barley wine.
Yeah.
And that will be out of Anchor Brewing out of San Francisco, California. You can reach them at their website at www.anchorbrewing.com. The style, as we said, is a barley wine.
But if it's in San Francisco, is it like
sound effects we can put in here? Yeah, San Francisco foghorn.
This beer has an ABV of 8.8%. The ingredients are water, malted barley, fresh whole Cascade hops, and yeast.
Settle that, Mike. Settle that.
So,
I'm all right.
So it's a pretty straightforward beer. Very, very, very few ingredients. Interesting note, it was first brewed in 1975. I think we said 1970 in the intro. I think we were wrong. 1975, and it was the first of its kind in modern times in the U.S. This beer has a rate beer rating of 98 out of 100, with Beer Advocate rating the users rating it a B, and the Allstrom Brothers... I'm sorry, the users rating it a B+, and the Allstrom Brothers rating it a B. So, you guys ready to crack them open?
Do it. Already? Do yeah. it. So once again, we're doing Anchor, and it seems like they have kind of paved the way for American craft brewers with a lot of different styles. They were, you know, we've talked about them before being just, you know, on the forefront of craft beer in America back in the 70s when there really wasn't anything. You know, they were up against the big three, you know, and of course the old Foghorn is going to be the one of the original American style barley wines, you know.
So I'm getting about a finger and a half of head on it. Nice big bubbles, kind of tan color.
Yeah, I'm not getting much head.
Yeah, and it's dissipating, but not too quickly.
I smell alcohol right away.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's going to be par for the course with this style. One of the things about barley wines is with that higher alcohol content, you also get a very pronounced alcohol character to both the taste and the scent. It's got a nice ruby red color.
Yeah, kind of a brownish red.
Yeah.
Are you guys using the tulip or are you using I'm actually using a brandy snifter.
I have a tulip glass.
Yeah, mine's similar. My black lager glass. Not quite a snifter like I like to use, but it works.
On the nose, I'm getting I'm smelling some caramelized raisins.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm getting that alcohol that Mike was talking about. A little bit of hoppiness in there.
Real sweet. Real sweet.
It's a perfumey kind of hop.
Yeah.
I don't get as much as, like, you know, you mentioned it was Cascade, but I don't get that, like, really prominent grapefruit much as some of the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm smelling a little bit of fruitiness.
You can smell it, but I guess I just expected more grapefruit, and I'm getting all kind of, like, perfumey and malty smells.
It's nice, though, because it's got that balance of the hops are there, and they're definitely floral and citrusy and evident, but you're still getting that malty caramel sweetness coming through in the scent.
These beers are typically enjoyed in the wintertime and after dinner. Correct me if I'm wrong, they're more of a winter warmer type sipping beer.
In most cases, yeah, I would agree with you. Although mine's called a summer barley wine, but I've seen do all kinds of different styles at different times. But in general, yeah, barley wine's usually a, you know, because it was traditionally brewed, what'd they say, like spring and fall. So to drink it, you know, in wintertime or even the following spring would be.
Well, plus they age well, too.
Right.
I mean, I've heard of, and I've just noticed this recently, Bigfoot from Sierra Nevada, they actually put the year on the bottle. So I've heard of people actually getting, you know, last year's, or they'll get it when it's brewed and then they'll hang on to it for a year or so, and then they'll have it in the following winter or something like that.
I'd really be curious.
This one didn't have a year.
To taste the difference between something, you know, aged, particular styles.
Yeah.
Barley wine being one of them, to see what the difference would actually be.
So on the taste end of things, I'm actually getting a little bit of apple.
Yeah.
In there. And the caramel, so, you know, like a caramel apple, I guess, would be a good descriptor.
Yeah. It's a little bit lighter than some of the barley wines I've had, like mouthfeel wise.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not as syrupy as a lot of barley wines can be.
Yeah. A little more drinkable than a normal.
Kind of like signature chewiness.
Yeah.
Yep, and it has that alcohol flavor is there as well.
Feel it going down. Some raisins.
It's good though. I like it.
It is good. Actually, may be a good pick for a barley wine to drink in the warmer months, just because of the thinner mouthfeel.
Yeah. It's a good choice.
I'm liking it a lot.
Also, a little bitterness on the back of the tongue, kind of a dry bitterness.
Yeah.
That's pretty tasty.
So, Mike, if you were gonna pair this with something, what do you think you'd pair it with?
This is kind of a tougher one, but I'm not sure. I like the idea of them saying to maybe pair it with a dessert, and I'm thinking like a cheesecake would actually be interesting.
Yeah.
Cheesecake
would be interesting.
Just a regular caramel old
cheesecake, or just a old school New York cheesecake, something like that.
Outback used to do this caramel sauce with their cheesecake.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And that actually would go really well with this.
Yeah, I'd say it's a rich caramel on top of some really creamy cheesecake. That sounds really
good. Hear that, Outback? We're calling out for sponsors.
You might want to start carrying Old Foghorn.
All right.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. I was thinking something like a really hearty, if you were to pair this with dinner, I would say something really hearty steak. Nothing too sweet, but just a really kind of
something really meaty and
Worcestershire with it. Maybe.
Yeah, I agree.
The cheesecake, definitely. Right on.
Definitely.
you guys wanna move on and continue drinking this and maybe talk about some adjuncts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do some adjunct speakage.
Let's do that. And welcome to our Hop Topics section of this week's podcast.
Hop Topics.
This week we've decided to devote the entire Hop Topics segment to one particular discussion topic. And
it's a hop topic.
Oh, sorry. A hop topic. And since it's the Beer Jargon guy's fault that we're doing this, because he decided to throw us on the spot.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw to the Beer Jargon guy's alter ego. Mike, take it away.
Okay.
Mike in Boston, take it away.
There it is. Adjuncts, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Basically, for most people, the definition is anything other than water, barley, hops, yeast. It's an adjunct. But there's exceptions to that rule, just like with anything else. Wheat would be considered an adjunct, right, but it wouldn't be considered an adjunct if it was used in, say, a wheat beer. But it would,
right,
if it was used in a pale ale or something for head retention or something to that effect. But not just, it's not just the, like a grain adjunct. There's different types of adjuncts. There's, you know, the grain, the starch adjuncts like rice and corn, which is
normally
what I would say an adjunct is when I
right, and
explain it to people, it's the rice and corn that they put in some of the, you know,
right,
the macro.
Right. Normally when you say adjunct and you're talking about beer, it usually has a negative connotation because it's, you know, the rice and the corn that the big breweries use in order to, the main reason that they use it is to maintain consistency, to make sure that they're putting out a consistent product every batch.
And
they use the rice and the corn.
And it's kind of to substitute barley malt. Do that. In a sense.
Well, yeah, right. And it's also supposed to add, you know, it's supposed to have the right, make it the right color that they're looking for and the right head retention. So there's all these different scientific ways also that they use these certain ingredients to make it more drinkable or whatever.
Well, that the key to that is the fact that those adjuncts, the rice and the corn, add almost no flavor, which is what they're going for.
Right, it's more of a color.
They're trying, yeah, they're trying to go for as little. Sounds strange, but they're trying to go as little flavor right. as possible.
They're trying to lighten the flavor, actually.
Yeah. Right. That's why you had the whole bitter beer face ad campaign about how negative bitterness
was. That was your favorite,
the most ridiculous campaign ever.
So it all kind of starts with the Reinheitsgebot purity law, right? I mean, with the purity law basically said what? That the only ingredients that could be included were water,
barley,
hops. and barley.
Right.
Which is strange. Yeast wasn't included, but I did a little research on that because I thought when I first saw that, well, how could yeast not be included? And the reason is because they didn't realize that yeast was even involved in the process. Because when they were fermenting, they just left the casks open. So the beer was actually, the yeast was attacking naturally.
Yeah.
So they didn't realize that yeast was part of the process. So that's kind of why it wasn't included in the law. But obviously it's a necessary ingredient if you want the, you know, the
alcohol.
Carbonation. So.
Yeah.
I mean,
the adjuncts have kind of been looked down upon for a long time. I mean, even back in old England days when they were just brewing with the main ingredients, you know, using barley as one of the main ones, they weren't using some of the adjuncts, they would still look down on it, you know, with oats and stuff like that. And if you guys want, there is actually a little quotation in the tasting beer book that I wanted to read by A.T. I don't know who A.T. is, but it goes like this. The wheat is like a rich man that's sleek and well-to-do. The oats are like a pack of girls laughing and dancing too. The rye is like a miser that's sulky, lean, and small. But the free and bearded barley is the monarch of them all. So even back then, they were looking down on stuff other than barley.
They had hierarchies of grains.
Right. Like the poor people were drinking stuff made out of cheap oat ale and they were looked down upon, you know. Yeah. The poor folk who couldn't afford the premium stuff that had, you know, barley in it.
Interesting.
So, and I mean, even now, you know, with some of these American adjunct lagers and stuff where you think that part of the reason that they're using those rice and those corn.
Cheap.
Yeah, because it's cheaper, you know, they can make more with less.
Did you know that Anheuser-Busch is the single largest purchaser of rice in the United States? They buy more rice than anybody else. And then I heard another thing.
Hear that, Uncle Ben?
A little bit separated, but Miller Coors is like the single like the local brewery here, because obviously they don't brew at all in one central location. Mm-hmm. They have breweries all over the country, but Miller Coors down here, and I think they have a place down here in down near Fort Worth, and they're like the biggest consumer of water.
Damn.
In that area.
Oh. Well, I think
Coors makes sense, but
Coors
sense.
Also has their own like. Barley fields in Colorado. I think.
Yeah, yeah. I just meant the brewing process itself.
But
yeah, so yeah, it's, you know, but and I think the American brewers tend to take it to another level as far as when you're talking about adjuncts or additives in the beers, especially the craft brewers. Obviously, the bigger brewers, they have their set recipes that don't change. They don't tinker with them at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they know what their target audience is.
Yeah.
So, but you know, American craft brewers are all about experimentation.
Yeah.
So they're much more
some great hoppy ryes and some fantastic oatmeal stouts.
Well, I mean, and I was talking a few weeks ago about Capital Brewing and how they're bringing in their wild rice beer, you know, and that's sort of what started this whole thinking about doing this segment was, you know, we think of adjuncts in a negative, and we think of them as, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is rice and corn because that's what the big brewers use. But, you know, rice can be used as a flavor additive,
right?
Not just a leveling agent that they use it for, but
yeah, it's, I mean, there's a whole nother realm of the flavoring, you know, adjuncts as far as, you know, all the spices and that type of thing.
Man, I had a beer a while back that was brewed with spruce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, just random. It was a horrible beer, but aside from that, just the fact that somebody was daring enough to even try that, that's how it made it into a bottle, but...
The Alaskan winter story. Is made with spruce tips.
Really?
That. Yeah. It's actually not bad.
And that...
Very piney. Warm...
We've had everything, you know, from vanilla to chili peppers to juniper berries to coriander to, I mean, ginger, you name it. And that's I guess the difference of between what the craft brewers use their adjuncts. They kind of experiment with adjuncts. It's really strange.
The purpose
to have
for adjuncts
that
and crafts
same
is,
word
is different.
Well, it's like the difference between a fast food place who have developed their recipe and honed it and made it efficient and cheap, and you know, McDonald's, no matter where you go in the country, that Big Mac is going to taste the same,
right? Because it's not about the food, it's about the system, you know. It's about
exactly, yeah. And that's exactly what the big brewers go for. And the difference, it's like the difference between creating that recipe for the Big Mac and creating, you know, a really good local hamburger or just a really good recipe in general of any.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I like craft beer is sometimes it can be hit or miss. I mean, Dave Summers in LA has his favorite beer is, well, it was at the time was the Green Flash Imperial IPA, but it was never consistent. He had it this one time at Hamilton's in San Diego and it was the best beer he's ever had. And then when he found it in a bottle, he had it two or three times after that in the bottle, and it was not the same each time, not just from the first time he had it on draft, but each time in the bottle was different. And then he had it in a bottle again, and it was almost as good as the first time. So I kind of like that about, I mean, sometimes you might get a bad beer or it's not as good as you remember it being, or it's even better, you know, like, hey, this one, you know, I guess you could kind of compare that to wine maybe as far as the years go, if they had a good year
at this
one place.
So. It's just like going to a good restaurant, you know, if depending on who the cook is that night, depending on what the quality of the produce they picked up that day, you know, it's the same concept. You're going to get, depending on when you go, you're going to get a different experience every time. You're not always going to get the same flavors. You're not always going to get the same quality as, you know, as you might with some you know, like McDonald's.
Right.
You know, you always know what you're going to get at McDonald's.
Right. No matter where you are. Pretty, not only in any part of the country, but any other country as well.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, you know, Budweiser. You always know what a Budweiser is going to taste like.
Yeah.
So you never have to buy another one ever again. You know what it tastes like.
Nice. Nice. Been there, done that. Let's move on.
You've tried it. Now move on. So that being said, I think we're ready to move on to our
So if
our tasting flights.
Yeah. If we didn't explain adjuncts enough, then I don't know what else to tell you guys.
Send us some backwash.
Send some backwash, and we'll
if we
let you explain it a little bit better.
If we left something out, or if we, you know, whatever. Send us some backwash.
That'd be great.
We cool.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
All right, my turn.
All right.
All right, all right. It is Mike.
I am drinking or going to drink the Ipswich Ale Castle Hill Barley Wine. And it is ginormous. You should see this thing. A liter and a half, so I'm going to be up for a little while. This,
you're gonna have
this is a barley wine, of course. It is from Mercury Brewing Company out of Ipswich, Massachusetts. It's American barley wine, of course, which I've already said. The ABV, it's got a big old question mark on it. I was looking for it on the bottle, and I can't find it. So it's a mystery.
Damn.
I'm sure it's got a bunch.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I'm sure. Beer Advocate users rated a C+, and the Allstrom brothers have not weighed in on this beer, and Rate Beer has not weighed in on this. The percentage is not, they haven't had enough people weigh in on this beer to be able to give it a percentile.
So intriguing.
Well, yours is... Like, aren't they limited edition? Yours is what, number one?
Yes, that's an interesting story, and why I kind of chose this beer is I went up to the brewery to get this back in April when it was released, and this is bottle 13 out of 100 that they had. They've released more than 100, but for that particular one, they released 13 out of 100 bottles up at the brewery. So I went up and got mine.
And you only got one?
What's that?
You only got one?
Yeah, I only got one. Well, it was like $20. And if you buy it in the store now, it's actually $30. So I actually saved money, believe it or not. So I'm going to crack it open.
That's all right. It's episode 10. It's time to celebrate.
Yeah, special occasion.
Too bad you guys can't share this with me.
I know. I wish I was there.
Here we go.
Maybe I can catch an early flight and get out there before.
Yeah. You guys, get ready. Leave now. All right. Now, I'm just using a wine glass here. It's kind of a smaller wine glass. It's acceptable.
Well, it sounds smaller. Jesus, how much you poured in that thing? Glup, 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 glup.
Like I said, it's going to be a long night. Whew. It's got some... funkiness, and I like it. It's very orangey in color. Yes. But not much of a head at all. Jeez. It's kind of dissipating very quickly. There is some good lacing. And it's very... got a sweet, kind of funky malt smell to it. Almost kind of a... it's got that vegetable kind of aroma. Vegetable-y.
Not a good sign.
Vegetableness. It's
a little bit funky in a good way.
It's a good funk. It's a sweet, malty, good funk.
Get down!
It sounds like
good
a
funk.
Music style more than a beer, doesn't it? It is very sweet. Sweeter than I remember at the brewery. And I don't know if that's just when I had it there, it was, you know, obviously pretty fresh. It's been sitting in my fridge, so it shouldn't have really aged at all.
What else was special about that bottle that you have?
What else was special about it?
Bottle itself.
Oh, I mean, what, the fact that it's a liter and a half, you mean?
You said it was signed by somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it's signed by the brewer, which I can't even read his name, and I should know it. It's,
Yes, you should.
Richard, I think, Richard Crane, I think is his name. Kind of hard to read his signature, but I think it's Richard Crane. And, this was done for the 375th anniversary of the town of Ipswich. And they actually, I think before this, they put out a stout that I just missed before I moved here. But back to the beer. It's thicker in mouthfeel, I think, than the Foghorn. It's got a real sweetness that I'm not sure how I feel about. It's almost a little too sweet. Mm. It's another one of those things that I think if I were going to pair it with anything, I just don't think I would. I think it's very sweet. It's almost like a dessert style beer. So, yeah. You know, maybe some darker fruits or something like that. You can kind of, you know, pick on some fresh fruit and sip on this would be pretty good. And that's it for me in my Ipswich Ale Castle Hill Barley Wine. It is pretty good though.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we?
Alrighty, this is Toby out here in the west.
Hi, Toby.
I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's 110 degrees during the day out here. But it's a dry heat.
Dry heat, my ass.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
oops.
The nice barley thing. Wine that I will be tasting today is from Full Sails. It's their reserve. I know I said at the beginning of the podcast, I said it was the 09, but it's not the 09. It's the 08 because they haven't brewed the 09 yet. They don't brew it until October.
Gosh.
Ew. So I apologize.
That's it.
So this is the
old Boardhead.
Welcome to Beer Coaster's Amateur Hour.
I think that's every week, isn't it? Yeah.
We're like a whole year off.
I know.
65
so this
days.
Is the old the old Boardhead barley wine from Full Sail, and Full Sail is out of Hood River, Oregon. Their website is www.fullsailbrewing.com, and this is their American barley wine. It's a 9% ABV. The IBUs are a 91, and I found this in the, you know, the 22-ounce bomber. You can find them also on draft, and it's available year-round, but since it's their part of their Brewmaster's Reserve, it's only, you know, this particular one is only brewed once a year in October. I found it for $3.99. The ingredients are, they have Centennial and Crystal hops. And it's part of the 2008 Brewmaster's Reserve, which would include stuff like their Slipknot Imperial IPA, which comes out in the wintertime, and their Keel Hauler Scottish Ale, which is their spring seasonal. And also I wanted to have a quick little fun thing for the listeners to do is there's a 47 on the bottle cap. It says, you know, has the Full Sail symbol, and then there's a 47 under that. And I wanted to see if anybody could find out what the 47 meant. So if you know what it is or do a little research, find out what it is, send us some backwash. Tell us what the 47 means. That would be cool.
Awesome.
Anyway, Full Sail's flagship beer is probably their Full Sail Amber Ale. Rate Beer gave this a 98 out of 100. The Beer Advocate users gave it a B+, and the Ahlstrom Brothers rated it an A.
Sweet.
I'm pouring this into a snifter glass. You could also use a pint glass if you'd like.
Snifter makes it special.
Yeah, it kind of lets it give you the good aroma, you know, pushes that smell up into your nasal passage.
Just stick your nose right in the glass.
So this is a nice cloudy, kind of a brownish red, you know, I think I've used the word clay before, maybe an Indian clay kind of color, but it is kind of cloudy. I've got not much head. I didn't pour it too aggressively. I kind of lightly poured it into the glass. I do have a nice halo of off-white head around the rim. Not much in the middle. Don't see too many bubbles, maybe because it's the cloudiness. But
I can't see anything because Toby has his lights off.
I'm in a dark room. Lights behind me. I'm getting some... On the nose, I smell a lot of really sweet, sugary, almost like a brown sugar, kind of a toasted brown sugar.
Hey, that sounds good.
Lightly hoppy. Smells really good.
How's it taste?
Yeah, that's most.
Do you remember Syphilin and Ollie?
Oh, you want me to move on and tell me to wrap it up here?
No.
I remember.
Hmm. Pretty lively mouthfeel. Kind of ooh, it's a little sour, a little bitter. Good hops. It's interesting for the barley wine comparing it to the Foghorn. The Foghorn was a little more malty, kind of fruity sweetness with the alcohol. This is more of a hoppy. Oh yeah, nice bitter hops. Really dry. I'm not tasting a whole lot of alcohol. Yeah, the alcohol, it says 9%, but it's... Ooh, this could be dangerously drinkable, Chris. Dangerously drinkable. I like
that. We should coin that.
This is good. Well.
That's trademark beer coasters podcast. beer posters should be us, too.
Beer posters. Let's
do that.
It's another marketing idea.
GoDaddy.com. Oop, we can't say that, can we?
A lot of grassy.
Sure can.
What did I say? It's got the Centennial and the Crystal hops. I think the Centennial is definitely coming out. Very kind of earthy, piney. Hmm. Yeah, the hops are very present in this. I'm actually digging this a lot. It's almost closer to maybe an IPA, maybe an Imperial IPA or something along those lines.
Nice.
Would you pair it with anything?
I do like this a lot. Yeah, very earthy.
So you'd pair it with dirt?
For pairing it with something? What did you say, pair it with dirt?
You said it was earthy.
You said it was earthy.
Well, you know, kind of, I don't know. Pair it with a little bit of
granite.
You know what I'm saying.
Compost and...
As far as pairing this with something, I'm not sure. I'm thinking maybe something pretty mild to not overcome this. And this isn't even a sipping. I would not consider this a sipping beer, like most barley wines are. Maybe this could age a little longer, and it might take away some of the bitterness with age. It might become a little more sweeter. But for now, I would pair this with... I don't know. First thing that comes to mind is a roast beef sandwich.
Okay.
Nice roast beef with the spicy mustard, maybe. Yeah.
Nice. Zoom in on that.
Yeah, roast beef, spicy mustard. Wish I had some roast beef in the fridge.
I wish I was able to drink my beer.
Oh, come on.
Gotta wait till Toby's finished. Then you get your intro music.
You gotta wait until your intro music. Yes. Which, okay. Wait a minute, I think I hear the intro music coming up.
And now representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Okay, and for this week's tasting flight, I am sampling...
His beard.
My beard.
I'm sure that will be tasty. Part of the tasting.
He's got three different beers in there.
I am sampling Avery Brewing's Hog Heaven Barley Wine Style Ale.
Sweet.
This is brewed by Avery Brewing out of Boulder, Colorado. Their website is www.averybrewing.com. This beer has an ABV of 9.2% and has IBUs of 100.
Whoa.
So this thing should have some kick to it.
Some bitter barley.
What?
Yeah.
That's nine more than what?
Ingredients, it uses a two-row barley, caramel 75L malt, and Columbus hops.
What's so funny about Columbus?
Because in my notes I type Columbus hopes instead of hops.
Sorry, that sound is me pouring my barley wine. I apologize.
Yeah, would you stop? You've been doing that through everybody else's reviews.
Did I mention that I have a liter and a half of beer?
With no one to share it with.
Oh. It's lonely.
So that brewery founded in 1993. The rate beer rating on this beer is a 97 out of 100. And Beer Advocate, the users gave it a B+, and the Alstrom Brothers don't have anything to say about it.
Again?
So, again.
I said, screw you guys. Screw you guys.
We should rename this podcast all. Who the hell are the Alstrom Brothers? Because they don't drink any of the beers that we do.
And they don't send us any backwash, but maybe now they will.
Maybe now they will. All right, I am pouring.
Did I mention that I cornered him?
Yes, you are.
ACBF?
Yeah.
You cornered Todd, right?
Yeah. I think you seemed a little scared.
Maybe it was the beard.
It was the beard.
But he's got one, too.
Okay, so on the pour,
he has a beard, right?
I'm getting about 2 fingers worth of head. Really foamy, tan. The color, it's nice and clear, kind of an amber color. Whoa. Yeah, it's the very interesting thing about American barley wines is the wide breadth of styles.
Yeah.
You know, they're all absolutely called barley wines, but like with this one, instantly hops right off the nose.
Yeah.
Almost IPA level.
Yeah.
Kind of like mine.
Yeah. So, and I'm getting some of the caramel. But yeah, definitely. Ooh, there's what is that?
Horse blanket.
No. There's a sweetness in there. It's interesting because the caramel scent and the hops are kind of playing off each other and creating this sweet. Oh, it smells really good. Almost like a. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying, from mine and your beers that we're trying, it seems like ours are more of the American style barley wines. And
yeah.
Whereas Foghorn by Anchor is more of the English style because they it just seems so far because of the hops and stuff like that that we're experiencing in ours.
Yeah. You know what it is? The scent that I'm getting off of this with the caramel kind of playing off the hops and getting that citrusy, it's pear. I'm really smelling a lot of pear and apple.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
I have had this before, but I've had it on tap.
Really?
I just don't remember it that well to be able to, you know, remember any of that. But I do remember that I liked it. I remember that.
Oh,
much.
It's very tasty. I'm getting that the pear in the taste, and the hops are coming through strong. Yeah, it's almost, it's really interesting because it's really hoppy, but not quite IPA because it's got a lot of malt in there too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like this a lot.
I think that's what's so interesting about barley wines. They got that, all the aspects of a good strong ale, but then they can either go really sweet on you, they go really, you know, because of the alcohol content, or they could be really hoppy. It's it's kind of a wide spectrum, I think.
And, yeah, and even at 9.2, I'm not really getting same as you got, Toby, with the alcohol. I'm not getting a lot of alcohol, even though it is a 9.2. Lots of
drinking along with you.
That's all right. Lots of fruity, you know, apple and pear is what I'm mostly getting.
We did want to mention, too, to some of the new listeners that, you know, when we mentioned some of these flavors, like, you know, we're getting apple, pear, cinnamon. Most of the time, these beers aren't brewed with these things that we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely most of the time, not at all.
Right. Unless it's actually labeled, you know,
right. If it's labeled brewed label, with cinnamon, you know, or lemon, think, or cranberry, right, or whatever.
Not too often do you hear of a beer brewed with pear, though.
No.
I don't think you ever hear
that. No.
I'm sure somebody out there's tried it.
Sure.
You know, it could be a mixture, you know, it's just a mixture of the hops, the type of hops that they use, whether they're citrusy, fruity type hops, or, you know, and then the malts. That you make sure that comes up with these incredible, interesting flavors, you know?
Yep. Yeah, it's... I really like it a lot.
I'm so curious to see how these actually would last, you know, hold up in aging. You know, I think I'm going to go pick up another bottle and try and age it. Because, you know, these are meant to age. Also, they can be aged for a long time. Up to 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Avery recommends cellaring this one for about 3 years.
Oh.
3 years. I can't wait overall, that long nice. To drink a beer. Sorry.
No.
I gotta drink one every week, at least, you know. We wouldn't have a show. Wait, yeah. 3 years.
Thanks for listening. See you in 3 years.
If I was gonna pair this with something, I would do.
You said pair.
Actually, if I was gonna pair this with anything, I would definitely do a really good apple pie.
Nice.
Mm.
It's so funny that you say that because when we talk about
really well with this,
the desserts, and I'm thinking like. I wanted to say something with a graham cracker crust because I think something about the graham, I don't know, just that flavor seemed like it would go pair really well with that particular beer, but
yeah.
So I get the dessert pairing for sure.
Yeah, I think this would really bring out the apple caramel combination really well.
Nice.
So that's mine.
All right.
Moving on to
Hog Heaven.
Listen to some tweets.
Tweet of the week. Yeah. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. It's the tweet of the week. Tweet of the week. Yeah. Ryecrafty says, "Dear dudes, two floors up, I do not like having it rain beer on my patio at 11 p.m., nor do I think my plants appreciate it. I eat those, you know?" It's the tweet of the week! Tweet of the week! It's the tweet of the week! Tweet, tweet! Tweet of the week, yeah!
Check the Beer Coasters email.
Okay, so here we are in our backwash segment. This is the part of the show where we turn it over to you, the listeners, to give us a little bit of feedback and
all three of them
help us improve. Help us improve our podcast. We actually got two pieces of backwash this week.
Ooh. Pieces of backwash. Ew.
Both of which are chunky. From Crazy Dave.
Chunky ew. Pieces of backwash.
Even worse, pieces of backwash from Crazy Dave. You don't know what orifice that came from.
So the first piece
I
is...
I love barley wines.
They're nasty.
The first piece, he was talking about something we had talked about last week when I was talking in our Hop Topic segment about the Kid Rock beer that's coming out. And he just wanted to... Because we were talking about how weird it was that, you know, somebody would just slap their name on a product to try to sell it. And he just said, you know, there's quite a few famous people who own wineries, and it makes sense for a few... Right. Makes sense for a few reasons. They probably enjoy drinking wine. They can diversify their investment portfolio. Wine is good, and if they can capitalize on their name, why wouldn't they want their name on a bottle? And to that point, my response is absolutely. But I wasn't really talking about the people who own wineries or the people who actually produce it. Because Coppola, Francis Ford Coppola owns a winery, but he actually owns the winery, you know, and he is involved in the production of the wine. The difference is, and like Sammy Hagar is another one who owns Cabo Wabo Tequila, which is a really good tequila, you know, and he's involved in the creation of the tequila. It's not like the Kid Rock beer, where it was basically, you know, well,
it's called Redneck Lager.
Yeah, and he
come on,
and his the reason that he's doing it, you know, and he's partnering with a different brewery that's actually going to brew the beer, and he's not really involved in the creation of the product itself. It's just a matter of him slapping his name on it. So it wasn't a matter of you know, getting down on celebrities that want to slap their name on wines. I have nothing. I think that's great, man. If I had a lot of money and I was a celebrity, absolutely, I would create a line of beer. Of course, why wouldn't I?
I'd have a line of toilet paper, man. I'd have everything.
So, yeah.
Well, that's in defense of the Redneck Lager. At least it wasn't one of the big three. I mean, wasn't it some?
Did you really say in defense of the Redneck Lager?
Was wow. At least it was somebody
this is gonna go in,
who
like,
was
some crazy soundbite some, show.
Yeah,
somewhat of a microbrew, wasn't it, or no?
Yeah, no, it was.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
I guess I wasn't listening after
Michigan
Redneck
Brewing Company.
Yeah, Michigan. It wasn't somebody like Coors or Anheuser-Busch or something like that. Which we don't know. Maybe Michigan Brewing Company is owned by, you know, Coors or who's up there. Milwaukee.
But just, anyway. I mean, think about in the title itself, does that tell you anything about the beer? To me, it doesn't say quality craft beer.
It's a gimmick, yeah.
I mean, well, come on. Yeah. American
that's what
badass
it is. It's
redneck
the difference
lager.
Between, yeah, the difference between what he's doing and what Dr. Dre is doing with his sparkling vodka or whatever is it's a gimmick. You know, they're attaching their name to an alcohol...
Don't
to sell
make
more alcohol.
Me bash vodka on this show too.
Right, but then when you go on to, you know, somebody like Francis Ford Coppola who creates his, you know, I've been to the Francis Ford Coppola winery. It's really nice. But
Napa
it's
Valley.
Right. You know, he's attaching his name to it and that will help sell wine, but he's creating it because
is that
you know
not
because
his
he
winery?
Likes wine. It's yeah, it's his different. Winery. I mean he owns it. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like somebody else is creating a product and you're just slapping your name on it.
Yeah. All
anyway, right. I think we've talked enough about that. The other backwash thing that Crazy Dave sent in was he wants to know why so many barley wines have the word old in their name.
Yes.
And This is a very good question because it took a lot of Googling around to try to Googling to try to find why that is. And as far as we can tell, it's basically because of a couple different things. One is that it's an old style. So it was kind of born out of the old ales of England and so yeah. that sort of plays into it. And then it's also it's a style that's meant for cellaring.
Aging, yeah.
So the aging concept, you know, leads into the old name.
Right.
So those are a couple reasons why a lot of them, we drank the old Foghorn and then Toby's was the old Boardhead. Like yeah. They do tend to use the old name quite a bit. But so that's what we could find in reference to that.
That might even be a call sign, you know, if somebody was looking at bottles, kind of scanning bottles on the shelf, and they see old something something, they might automatically think barley wine or something like that. You know, it might even
old, I think, is used in the United States. I mean, it's used in other countries, but it's kind of runs rampant in the United States as far as, like you said, old crustacean, old foghorn, old guardian, old horizontal, old ruffian, old school, you know, the list goes on and on.
But yeah, it is to sort of, you know, trigger in the person's mind that, hey, this beer is based on an old tried and true recipe of, you know,
yeah,
that
it's an old strong ale. Period. You know, I mean, that's kind of where it all comes from. And one of the cool things about craft beer and craft breweries is they are very in tune with the history of the styles that they're brewing. And I love that about
that. And the interesting thing is that even though, you know, they say old, the barley wine moniker really is, you know, only 100 years old or so it's really not that old, you know. Yeah. not when you think in terms of beer and how long
being
10, beer is
1000 years old.
Well, yeah, exactly. So yeah, so that's what we have for our backwash this week. I think we're ready to move into our last call.
You didn't get your drinks, you're screwed.
Last call.
And welcome to our last call segment. This is the segment where we kind of wrap things up and tell you what we thought of our beers this week. And
still drinking
Mike, why don't you start us off?
Who, me? You. I'm still drinking mine because, as Mike I mentioned before,
Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, Boston, Massachusetts. My beer's like a liter and a half, so I'm still drinking it. It's
okay. Well, how did you feel about the Anchor?
Oh, that beer.
Was
only our fermentation conversation.
It was a good barley wine, but it was thin. It was thin for me. That loses a little points because I kind of feel like a barley wine should be chewy. And those who have had barley wines know what I mean when I say chewy. Those who haven't have no idea what I'm talking about. But, what the hell was that?
That was my attempt at Chewbacca, but...
Chewy.
There we go.
All right. Chewy, get it. Go. I get it now. Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Sorry.
Walking carpet.
I'm kind of teetering between 2.5 and 3. I'm going to give it a 3 just because I'm in a good mood because I'm drinking a liter and a half of barley wine right now. So for the old Foghorn, I give it a 3. I think a solid barley wine, but it's a little thin in the mouthfeel for my particular taste. The Ipswich Ale Castle Hill Summer Barley Wine. it's good, but it's sweet, and I'm kind of battling whether I like
there's a lot the sweetness. Of it.
What's that?
I said there's a lot of it.
There is a lot of it.
I think there's about a That's liter right, and a half.
That's right, a liter and a half. And I will say that like I say San Diego.
It's like if you were at Hofbräuhaus and you were drinking a beer at Hofbräuhaus, it would be one of those of barley wine.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
It's
be a couple
amazing.
Of those.
It's not a Dunkel. It's not an Oktoberfest. It's a barley wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Neinwitzstein!
Neinwitzstein! It's good, and it's tough for me to figure out whether I like. I mean, as a dessert beer, I'm gonna give it like a 3.5, because I feel like it's kind of suited for dessert beer. Whether a barley wine itself is, as a style, should be a dessert beer, is probably debatable. I think it's probably more of a sipping kind of. A sipping type of beer, but I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Yeah, I mean, it falls in the dessert category.
Well, that's a good thing about barley wine. I think it kind of broadens the spectrum between the sweet and the sipping and, you know, something really hoppy or sweet. So, anyway, that's what I got.
Sweet. Toby, what'd you think of yours?
I'm still drinking.
Well, the old Foghorn. I'm going to give the old Foghorn... I'm going to give it a 4. I thought that it was a great barley wine as far as the traditional. I mean, I'm not too familiar with barley wines. I'm not a huge, I don't drink a lot of them. I've had Bigfoot before and was really taken aback by the high alcohol. But as far as a traditional English style barley wine, I would give it a 4 because it did have a lot. You know, it had the high alcohol, it had the raisin, it had more of a sipping beer, after dinner, dessert type beer. I did like it. As far as the Full Sail Old Boardhead barley wine from the 08 Reserve, I'm going to give it a 4. Also, it's...
There's a long sigh in there.
Yeah.
Give it a...
Well, it's not a... Comparing it to a barley wine, I mean, it's more of an IPA or an Imperial IPA, because it was more prominent, in the hops area. I couldn't really taste a whole lot of the alcohol. It's very drinkable, dangerously drinkable. I really like it. I think it's freaking good. I love it. I would drink, you know, a couple of these. But as far as it fits into the whole barley wine style, I don't think it really matches in so far. I mean, maybe if I age this for a while, it might mellow out from the hoppiness and get a little sweeter. And anyways, so I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5 pints.
It's damn good.
Pretty Full Sail.
Sweet. Yeah, for me, it felt a little bit different than you did, Mike. On the anchor, you said that. The thinness of it was one of the reasons you were giving it a lower rating, and that's actually one of the reasons that I'm giving it a higher
and
rating.
I totally understand.
I'm gonna give it a 4, and I felt it was very well balanced. There was, you know, it tended to be a little more on the malty side than the hoppy side, but everything was pretty level and not too overpowering. And I actually liked that about that.
Quite balanced.
That being said, the Hog Heaven from Avery, I liked even better. And
he's a burn ass.
While it's still very balanced, but balanced taking it up a notch. So you got the hops in there that are very prevalent. I mean, 100 IBUs is off the charts.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
But the nice thing about it, and one of the things that I like about it compared to one of the beers that we tried last week, we did the double IPA from Sam Adams Longshot. One of the problems I had with that beer was that it was so hoppy and so bitter, there was no balance there. And the difference between that and this is that not only are the high hop content, but you also have the balance with the high malt content. Mm-hmm. So it's nice and sweet. and hoppy, and I really liked the fruity flavors that were coming through.
Pear.
So I'm actually going to give that a 4.5.
Mm,
wasn't, wow. You know, that's, a perfect beer, it's but pretty close. It's definitely, yeah, it's definitely nice. I really enjoyed
definitely,
it a lot.
Definitely.
And that was the... Definitely. That was the hog heaven from Avery. So, and you can reach them at averybrewing.com. Did you guys have any websites or anything that you wanted to throw out there?
Yes. Mike. I did want to mention that Mercury Brewing Company's website was mercurybrewing.com. I also wanted to mention that Mercury Brewing Company needs to update their website because they haven't updated since the beginning of the year, essentially. You can't find the summer barley wine on there. There's more. You get more up-to-date information if you follow them on Facebook, which is probably a better way, either Facebook or Twitter, to find Mercury Brewing Company or / Ipswich Ale. This Mercury Brewing Company actually has another beer called Stone Cat, which is another line of beers that they come out with. It's a little more experimental, but it's all under Mercury Brewing Company. And that's about all I had to say about that.
Sweet.
You can also check out fullsailbrewing.com. Check out their Brewmasters Reserve. They've got tons of different ones from their seasonals. They come out, you know, every season.
Brewery.
And
fullsailbrewing.com.
They're also very eco-friendly too, which they are also talk about in future podcasts.
Very affordable.
Do we need to turn up our
I'm a big fan of Full Sail because I've gotten them before and they've definitely been cheaper than most, which is good. And it's a good quality craft
my
beer.
Bottle my bomber of barley wine was only $4, which is not bad at all.
Nice.
For our fermentation conversation this week, the Anchor Steam Old Foghorn, you can go to anchorbrewing.com. And as far as we're concerned, you can follow us on Twitter. Go to Beer Coasters Pod, or you can search for us on Facebook. Just search for BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
Be friends with us.
Be friends.
Friends,
you can email us individually. My email is Chris@BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
I am Mike@BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And I am Toby@BeerCoastersPodcast.com.
And if you want to email us some backwash, you can do that at backwash@beercoasterspodcast.com. You can also leave audio backwash. That's right. You can call and leave a message. We'll get back to you. 316-221-6846. Thank you. You could also post your comments directly on the website each episode, or just anytime. Actually, if you want to add in a comment, go ahead, feel free to do so at www.beercoasterspodcast.com, and there's any of the episodes have a little comment section, which is kind of cool.
And you can also subscribe on iTunes. Just search for Beer Coasters on iTunes. It's pretty sweet. You just subscribe to it, and it every week automatically downloads into your iTunes library. It's kick-ass.
Sweet.
And you can check out the website. I love iTunes, man. That's cool. I don't know what I would do without it. Check on Mondays, or maybe even sooner, for what we're doing next time on Beer Coasters, so you can find out what we're drinking next week.
Little
and you
hint,
can grab a
we're drinking beer.
Yeah, you can find out what we're drinking. You can drink with us. you can say, oh, I'm totally not tasting raisins. You guys are full of it. I'm totally tasting horse blanket or something.
Nice.
And as always, tell your friends. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, support your local brewery.
Thanks for listening.
Drink local. Don't drink and drive.
Do you guys have any other stuff you wanted to throw out there?
I've had, speaking of barley wines, because this is a barley wine show, I had chance to try Stone's Old Guardian on cask before I left San Diego. Sweet, sweet San Diego. And it was fantastic. If you have the means to try this beer on cask, it you got to do it. Get out there and do it.
Or, I can imagine.
Or anything on cask for that matter.
If you hear that a brewery
if you ever get a chance
is doing something on cask, get out there now and do it. Drink it.
And now time for craft beer jargon. For this week's beer jargon, the term is cask-conditioned beer. Cask-conditioned beer is the term for unfiltered, unpasteurized beer, which is conditioned and served from a cask without additional nitrogen or carbon dioxide pressure.
If you walk into your local beer bar and they have a cask ale on the menu, just get that. You know,
whatever it is, you just try it.
Is. Yeah. Cask is good.
Birkin, baby.
Birkin.
And I think that wraps it up for this week's issue of Beer Coasters.
Episode 10.
So we'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm still drinking my beer.